Some days you want a little extra oomph to your usual look. Whether that's lashes for days with the Viral Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara or awakening your eyes with a lasting lift and soft color with the Brilliant Eye Brightener, Thrive Cosmetics is your go-to when you want to amplify your everyday look. Whether you want a simple, just got to get out of the door routine or full glam, you'll always look and feel like the best version of yourself with Thrive Cosmetics. Plus, every product is 100% vegan, cruelty-free, and made with clean, skin-loving ingredients that work with your skin, not against it. And for every product purchased, Thrive Cosmetics donates to help communities thrive. So every time you use your favorite Thrive Cosmetics product, you're helping communities you care about, too. Amplify your everyday. Go to thrivecosmetics.com/shine26 for an exclusive offer of 20% off your first order. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/shine26.
Merkle Media.
Does the name Jesus actually mean Hail Zeus? So I'm going to talk today about something that is resurfacing again for the 1 billionth time, and it always seems to do that, especially when we're at a heightened state in the conspiratorial world. And this is one of those things that's just probably never going to go away. And I feel like I need to talk about it because I saw it resurfacing again and permeating again. So I want to talk about the fact that there are people who believe that the name Jesus actually means Hail Zeus. And I'm actually going to present the claim first, and then we're going to move into what I actually think about it and what I have when it comes to etymology and historically, and how that this is actually impossible for Jesus to mean Hail Zeus. But we're going to go through it. So in starting with the claim, people will say that they see in historical documents that the name Jesus didn't even come into existence until the 1600s when the letter J was introduced into the English language, which is true. And because of that, they say that the name Jesus is only around 400 years old and that the Greek Iesus, or as some like to pronounce Jesus, comes from the name Zeus, the ruling god in the Greek pantheon. Now, Zeus is the chief deity of the Greek pantheon, and he is a sky and thunder god in ancient Greek religion and mythology, and he rules as the king of the gods on Mount Olympus. And he's actually respected as the sky father. And being this chief of the gods, he actually assigned roles to the others. Even the gods who are not his natural children addressed him as father, and all the gods rise in his presence. So in my opinion, Zeus is what we would call one of these fallen Elohim, and he has tried to present himself as the one true God. And he is just trying to mirror this type of imagery. Now, people who believe that Jesus means Hail Zeus will probably concur to that, and they will say that the name Jesus is a pagan name. That's what they're trying to say. You cannot use the name Jesus because it is a pagan name. And you'll see this in specific groups like the Black Hebrew Israelites and the ever-growing Hebrew Roots movement, where they try to pull from specific documents to prove their point. Now, one of these would be the Two Babylons, which was written by Alexander Hislop. And I've mentioned Hislop a few times on this show. And because this type of stuff keeps repermeating throughout the conspiratorial zeitgeist, I'm just going to buckle down one day and I'm going to present you guys with maybe a multi-parted episode on the Two Babylons and break down Alexander Hislop and talk about why I believe that that book specifically is one of the oldest psyops when it comes to trying to discredit a lot of things in Christianity. Even though Alexander Hislop himself was a minister at the Free Church of Scotland, and it's not to say that there aren't things in the book that are good, that make a lot of sense, but there's a lot of it too that is absolutely false with just a little bit of research. The problem was Hyslop was so against the Catholic Church that he does what a lot of people do. He started pulling a lot of evidence using confirmation bias to prove his points because he was so dead set on proving anything that they had coming out of the church as wrong. And that's just not a way to research. And I've said that a million times on this channel. And I know that there are groups of people out there that get hopping mad. I'm just trying to look at things objectively. I think that's how we're supposed to look at things. And I know that the conspiratorial world is not an objective place. And I know that Free the Rabbits is on the outside looking in when it comes to most of what is gestating within this conspiratorial world, specifically this idea that Jesus means Hail Zeus. So let's get into why people think that it means that. So back to the claim, Jesus is a transliteration of a Latin name only one letter off from Jesus, and it is Iesus. Now it's spelled I-O-E-S-U-S. Now again, you have some people that pronounce it as Jesus. The two pronunciations that are actually correct would be Iesus or Jesus. It would not be Jesus, which I don't understand why people do that, probably to make it sound like it rhymes with Hail Zeus. And that's the only way that it is even in a close regard to even being something that would be Hail Zeus. But let's look a little bit further. So the idea is that Yahushas, which is another name for Jesus, you will hear Yeshua as well. And there are quite a few people out there right now that scream to the rooftops, it's only Yah, Yahusha, and they get super mad if you say anything else. And I, to be honest with you, they've been brainwashed. And I'm going to break it down today in how that works. So back to the claim, if Yahusha's name had been transliterated to our modern English language, it would have been Joshua. Correct, but it wasn't. There were many steps in between it being transliterated. So it's not transliterated directly from the Hebrew. Also, back to the claim, if the name was treated properly using the compound naming convention, Yahweh intended, it would be Yahshua, shortened to Yahusha, using the short contracted form, maintaining the meaning of the name and fulfilling prophecy that the Messiah came in the name of Yahweh, which is John 5:43. Came in the name of Yahweh in the name. As a matter of fact, we're going to break down what Yeshua actually means, and it's very important what that name means. And again, transliterations of names throughout history, it does not change the meaning of the name. It just changes the way it sounds per the language that it's said. So to get back to this now, so the claim also says is that we are seeing a gross mishandling of the Messiah's name. And when you look back in history, it is a change from the Greek pagan scribes of that time to slide it in this verbiage of Hail Zeus. Because if we look at during the period of time when the Bible was being put together, we know that Constantine was on the throne. And I have a lot of negative things to say about Constantine, but I do not have anything negative to say about the way the Bible was put together at all, because God put the Bible together. Constantine didn't put the Bible together. And at some point, we're going to realize that God Almighty is going to be in charge of his Bible being put together, not man. I'm going to say that. I know I'm getting a little worked up here, but it gets a little irritating when I hear people who continually act like that somehow God isn't all powerful. We want to look at the fact that the Greek word for Yeshua is Iesus, and why that it would not have been pagan scribes that would have done that. It actually would have been the apostles. So let's look at the New Testament. The New Testament was originally written in Greek, and it was written by the apostles. As a matter of fact, the first four gospels were written by the apostles, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So let's look at how that they would have written this in Greek. So Matthew, he was a Jewish tax collector from Galilee, And we know that in Galilee, some bits were Greek speaking and others were Aramaic speaking. So as a tax collector, he would need to work fairly close with Roman officials who mostly spoke in Greek in Israel in that period. So the likelihood of him writing the entire first gospel in Greek was high. So he would have written it down as Iesus, literally the guy who was hanging out with Jesus. So now let's look at Mark. He was also a Jew, probably from Jerusalem. Now, he was only a teenager at the time of Jesus' death. He became an assistant to various figures, Peter, Paul, Barnabas, before becoming the bishop of Greek-speaking Alexandria. Now, there's two things that are important about Mark's gospel. The first one is that Mark is said to have been a ghostwriter editor for Peter while Peter was in Rome, which makes sense because Peter said he needed help from Silas to write his first letter in 1 Peter 5:12. The second point is that the book of Mark is written in a low quality Greek, and it's obviously by somebody whose main language was Hebrew or Aramaic. So Mark was probably the most bilingual person Peter could find while in his prison in Rome. So the plausibility of the book of Mark being written by Mark, who also knew Greek, who was bilingual at the time, is also very high. So again, he would have written down the name Iesus. So now let's look at Luke. Luke, he actually wasn't an apostle. Guess what he was? He was a Greek doctor, and he was converted by Paul's missionary activity, and he decided to write a history of Jesus in the early church, writing in Greek. And guess what word? Iesus, because that is the Greek transliteration for Jesus. So now let's look at John, the fourth gospel. So it's a little bit more complex. The language is simple, but it's profound. Now, the question of authorship is slightly tangled by chapter 21:24, which says that John is the disciple who testified these things and who wrote them down. Then it adds, we know that his testimony is true. So there's clearly a group that's helping him edit this book. So could the result of all the material be worked by men who helped him write this, who were native Greek speakers? Absolutely. So again, the writing of this book in Greek is very high. So again, what name would they have written down? Iesus. So no, these were not pagan scribes who were working for Constantine, trying to slide in a little Hail Zeus, not in the slightest. And as a matter of fact, it takes very little research to figure this out. But I feel like I need to do this short episode because I tell you, I do not understand how some of this stuff gets slipped into conspiratorial zeitgeist consistently, and then it's debunked, and then 5 years later, it comes back with a vengeance. And again, people just don't spend 15 to 20 to 30 minutes even looking into this. So let's also look at what Hail Zeus would actually be in the Greek. Would it be Jesus? Is that the way that it's spelled? Is even that what it means in the Greek? Well, actually, no, it's not. So in the Greek, it's actually Kyrie, which is C-H-A-I-R-E, and then Zeus. So Kyrie Zeus is Hail Zeus in the Greek. Does that sound anything like Iesus or even Jesus? No, it doesn't, because it's not. It does not mean Hail Zeus in the slightest. Just because something sounds remotely like something else doesn't mean that it's it. So let's even look at it in the Latin version, because some people want to say, well, yeah, see, when it went to the Latin version is when they switched it up and made it sound like it was Hail Zeus too. So it's not. It's actually Ave Zeus, A-V-E Zeus, or Salve Zeus, S-A-L-V-E. So again, it has nothing to do with Iesus, not even close to it. The only thing that we even come close to is a false cognate, which I've talked about plenty of times on this show, false cognates. That is words that seem to have a common origin because they look or sound alike, but are actually completely unrelated. So Iesus, people are like, well, it kind of sounds like Jesus, Jesus, Hail Zeus. Oh, that's it. I got it. That's what it means. That's why Jesus means Hail Zeus. Oh, I know. I knew it. I knew it. It's as simple as that. That's as simple as how people make this stuff up. It's not even close. Not even close. Because similarity in sound does not equal similarity in origin. And if it did, half of the world's vocabulary would be connected just because syllables overlap. So we would be all discombobulated. We would be making up all kinds of things if that was the case. And I see this in the conspiracy truth world all the time. False cognates. All the time. Listen, I've been guilty of it in the past myself, and I've had to retrain my brain over the years to say, just because this sounds like this, doesn't mean that these two words are connected. Doesn't mean that they mean the same thing. Because language evolves, pronunciation shift, alphabets change, but translation chain is not evidence of pagan replacement. It's just not. It's evidence of cultures trying to communicate the same name across different languages. It's that simple. You could take my name and go into another language and it will be pronounced as Hoel. I've heard it. Plenty of other names throughout history have been changed. And I guarantee you some of them, when they've been transliterated, probably sound like something pagan. Probably do. But people were always looking for that angle to try to take down Jesus. I'm gonna take him down. Even Christians, people who claim to be Christians are doing this, which is wild to me. And to the point of what Yeshua actually means, the answer means to save. And this comes from Matthew 1, 20 through 21. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son and you will name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. It's very important. So Joseph, which would be pronounced Yosef in Hebrew, call the baby, he will save, because he will save his people from their sins. So that is the essence of Jesus being born with a purpose, Yeshua being born with a purpose. And let's not even forget that there were Jewish religious leaders who confronted Peter and John and asked them to stop healing and preaching in what? The name of Jesus, the name of Yeshua. And we know this from Acts 4, 8 through 13. Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today for a good deed done to a sick man, by what means this man was healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, this man stands before you healthy. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, that has become the cornerstone, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among people which we must be saved. And guess what the original language that that was written in, and not by some pagan scribe. It was written in Greek, and it was Iesus is what was written down in the first time. So it would have said in the name of Iesus, the Nazarene. So it doesn't matter if you call him Yeshua. It doesn't matter if you call him Jesus. Just make sure that you call on him. That's all that really matters. All right, guys, this is the end of our all-new short format content that is now a part of Every Friday. If you're looking to get to this content a month before it releases on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, etc., go and follow my YouTube channel at youtube.com/@freetherabbits with visuals added to showcase the subject matter. Also, don't forget, if you're not already following the show, make sure you hit that follow button on whatever platform you're on. Also, make sure you give the show 5 stars on Spotify. And if you're on Apple, 5 stars in a review would be much appreciated, since it helps the show get to more ears around the world. Okay, guys, on the way out, we're going to play my song, PSYOP. And you know what it is, guys. Go outside, touch grass, and get your tail out the hole.
Everything Asian.